Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Porter.
And I'm your host, Tyson.
And we're writers, editors, and part-time filmmakers who love superheroes. Welcome to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, you know, right before we get to talk about the new Superman coming out this week, we are just going to go back through all of the movies that we've watched for our watch through and rank them, duke it out, see which one we think is the best one and which one is the worst one. Now, a bit of a asterisk to this list. Part of our Superman watch through was Superman, the Christopher Reeve story, which is a phenomenal documentary. We have decided to omit it from our ranking just because it's really difficult to rank it as a Superman movie because it's a documentary about the actor that played him. It's not so much your traditional movie. So that's kind of like in its own special category. So if you're wondering where that went, that's why. But yeah, Tyson, what do you say we just kind of popcorn it, right? You say your last place, I'll say mine, and we just go down from there.
Unopposed.
Okay, let's hear it.
Starting off in dead last for me is Superman 3.
Okay. Okay. So just give us like bullet points for those that don't remember.
As much as I enjoyed the villain that Richard Pryor played, he was not a Superman villain, and he was kind of in cahoots with Lex, who was like sort of, but not really the main villain.
Well, in that one, Lex wasn't even the main villain. Remember, it was just like a random businessman.
Oh my gosh.
And we were like, what?
You're
happened?
So was right. Lex, it was just a tech mogul.
Yeah.
Also, apologies to anybody listening to this. I might misconstrue a few details. We have a lot of movies to get through.
Yeah, they're starting to blur together.
But you're so right. It wasn't even Lex. Okay, I feel justified in having us at the bottom then. I feel like there were some funny moments, but truly, it is the black kryptonite that killed this movie for me.
Yeah, I'm with that whole bit where he's just like flies to the top of the Statue of Liberty to save like the lady goon, and he's like, hope you're not hoping I'll rescue you. I don't do that kind of thing anymore.
Yeah,
like it just comes off so awkward.
Character motivation was all over the place. The explanation for the kryptonite was like
non-existent.
It was non-existent. Yeah. It wasn't even dissatisfactory. it lacked so many things, and yet I don't regret watching it.
That is interesting you have that there, just because, like, I don't know. It did have that really good scene where the factory was on fire and he, like, froze the lake and kind of made it rain over it. I thought that was cool.
Definitely a neat introduction.
Yeah, and I think it has, in my opinion, Superman 3 had the best female love interest for Superman, being his, like, childhood crush, Lana Lang. And I don't know. I'll just say this. It is not my last. It is not the bottom for me.
Okay. In context, I do enjoy Lana Lang as a character. I just think the fact that they kind of just, she disappeared in the fourth one. Like there was no mention after that. And they just went straight back to Lois and that weird dynamic.
Makes it feel unimportant.
Precisely.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, well, now I'm curious, Porter, what did you put in dead last?
Big shocker. It's Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. So, this movie isn't all bad. It has some good stuff. Like, we both gushed about the UN speech. We really like how it takes, you know, the Cold War happening at the time and contextualizes it with superheroes. However, I personally do not like Nuclear Man. I don't like his conception. I don't like the fact that his power comes from the sun, which is like fine in a vacuum, but so do Superman's. But this whole like section of Superman movies don't ever touch on that really. So it makes it kind of hard to like, I don't know. It just feels weird. And then you have the whole bit at the end where he like goes into space and takes the whoever the new female protagonist is with him and she's just fine in space without a helmet or anything. I don't know. It felt kind of more of like, for being the last Christopher Reeve movie, it felt like a whimper more than the finale it should have been.
That feels like a good descriptor.
Yeah.
And honestly, the thing that redeems it in my eyes is precisely what you said, that UN scene. I feel like it touched on that theme that has been like kind of vital to so many Superman movies. And honestly, what I'm most excited about them addressing in this new Superman movie, which is like this godlike power in conjunction with like the government and humanity, like what should be the limit on that?
Right.
I just love that that's a debate. And I think that's brilliant of them to have introduced that at the end.
It's true. You're right. Like, for being an older movie, kind of tackling those interesting ideas, I mean, good for them. Even if the movie surrounding it is crap. Not crap. I don't know. There's obviously some artistic finesse shown and, you know, some great craftsmanship displayed in the film, but it was not my cup of tea. So what's your number 10?
Yeah, that would be Superman 4 for me.
Fair enough.
How about you?
Yeah, my number 10 is Superman 3.
Okay.
So we can universally agree that these are the bottom of the barrel. So, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Which, just a little caveat here. I have no hate towards Christopher Reeve. I think he played Superman wonderfully. And they're older movies. They have older effects. And obviously, you know, the first try in any superhero franchise is just not the best.
Right.
But being how iconic he is and just kind of being the first in the batch, I have a lot of like love and respect for him as much as these movies might end up towards the bottom of the list.
Right. It's just tough because there just wasn't really any flair to them. Like, I don't know. It's not like the two Tim Burton Batman movies where it's like you watch it and holy crap, this is Tim Burton, right? There isn't really that element of it that makes it stand out besides from just being old.
Fair enough. Fair enough. They're just, they just didn't age well.
No. So, okay, what's your number 9?
Number 9, which, once again, I love Christopher Reeve, but it would have to be Superman 2.
What?
Yeah. And we'll get into this later, but I'll explain more.
consider me flabbergasted. That is wild. Okay.
Okay, I'm glad we're having this discussion then. I think as well fleshed out as Zod has been in this future, I have such a hard time with how they portrayed him in this. And
you're telling me you don't like Superman throwing his insignia on Zod's goon and it wrapping around?
That lives rent-free in my head.
It's so good.
I can't do it. I feel like there is like a severe lack of like proper storytelling when it comes to like how they came to be there. It all feels very like circumstantial and not very well thought out. Granted, we are kind of coming off of like this Man of Steel bit, and I am a huge fan of how they played Zod in that, so the comparison is hard for me.
You make a good point. With these other Superman movies, and really even the animated ones, we don't really have a modern retelling of a similar story to kind of compare. This one we do. You're not wrong. Like, yeah, you have Zod show up in this one, and I'm sure it was great for its time. I actually quite enjoyed it more so. But you're right. Like, the fact that Zod arriving to Earth is the premise of Man of Steel, and it is done better, in my opinion. I can understand you putting it so low, but I...
and I,
you're
I
gonna think... freaking hate the upper top bit of my list, dude. I am...
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear why you prefer it. I think the beginning of it is hard for me too, because they kind of try and like rebuild like a bit of like the beginning of the first movie, and they like low-key retcon a few things, just being like, that's how it always was.
Oh yeah, and then you can't forget the like kiss at the end that makes all of Lois's development throughout the movie just like go away, and you're like, oh, that's unfortunate.
That was brutal. Yeah, That killed me in the moment. And the fact that they never addressed that later and they brought in Lana and then they like went right back to Lois like that. It was the opposite of inspired. Like it was.
Yeah, it felt.
It was unnecessary by all means.
It kind of felt like the kind of thing where, you know, they walk into a writer's room one day and go, crap, I don't know how to finish this movie, but we got to finish it in like this week. And they're just like, well, we could do this. It's like, okay, let's roll with it.
I've heard some writers call it this. They call it throwing spaghetti against the wall, where you throw any idea. No idea is a bad idea. You just get it all out there and hopefully something good will come up that you can flesh out. And it feels like they just came, they like somebody threw that out and they're like, that's it.
Put it in
and then just moved on. And it it makes no sense for her character. It like adds no development to his character like it. Anyways, so yes, I'm not a huge fan of that one. But once again, no regrets watching it.
No. I don't think I regret watching any of these, really. I think it was fun because I hadn't seen a good chunk of these. So
yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Okay, well, number 9, Porter.
Superman the movie. An original Christopher Reeve one.
Really?
I have that as my third least favorite on this list.
Wow.
I know.
Okay, break it down.
So it is no secret that this movie has aged. Now, stuff that I like about the movie is I really enjoy the performance by Christopher Reeve. I enjoy Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor. And to an extent, I enjoy Margaret Kidder as Lois Lane. Now,
okay.
That being said, I do not care for the extended flying sequence with Superman and Lois. I think that was very hard to get through. I do like a lot of the beginning stuff. I think like with Krypton, I think that was really cool. I enjoyed that and how that was done.
I will say, for being as early as that movie was, the practical effects on that were quite cool.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I no shade at that. I see, here's the tough thing. Superman is interesting because he can't save everyone. That's like, that can be a point of contention. That can be, you know, something that gives the story stakes. Now, I actually really enjoy a lot of the third act of this movie where he's saving all these different scenarios after, you know, California almost collapsed. And I enjoy watching all of this. You know, the miniatures are so fun. I think it's well done. But then you get Lois Lane dying. And you would think, like, holy crap, that is some crazy storytelling to be like, you can't save everyone all the time.
Mm.
And it kind of looks like it's going that way. But then he reverses the rotation of the Earth, goes back in time. They don't address him fixing the other issues. They just show him going to save Lois. And that's the end of the movie.
Which is fair. And not being a power that they established earlier, that could really leave audiences being like, what just happened?
Let me tell you, there are a lot of stuff that was not established in this film. But I think that really goes for all of these. They really do just like throw stuff at you and be like, hey, deal with it.
Yeah, they do. I will say things that I've become numb to in the Christopher Reeve movies are just random powers showing up and just like them. They're powers. They're not just things that happen.
Right.
The fact that he can never lie is a power, like that, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also just these really long and strange sequences with Lois. They just went overboard.
They drag, dude.
They drag.
I'm assuming from your reaction that you have this movie quite a bit higher.
I wouldn't say quite a bit, but it's not here.
It is. Okay.
And we can get into that later, but honestly, valid opinion. I don't disagree with you per se.
That's the toughest things about these Christopher Reeve movies is I do not blame someone that grew up with them for liking them.
Oh yeah.
And I also don't blame someone that thinks that they're like terrible.
No, nostalgia is a powerful thing.
Yeah. I'm kind of just like,
And once again, for being the first of any superhero movie, like in any franchise, right? It often doesn't hold up over time because they just keep redoing it and they often keep getting better.
That's true. They definitely, for being the first Superman movie and one of the first, you know, the first big superhero movie.
Yeah.
It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're number eight.
Number eight, bringing it in with Superman Unbound, the animated film.
Okay, we have very different lists.
All right, I like
this.
I'm
so excited. Okay, break it down. What did you like and what did you not like?
I liked Brainiac as a villain. I tend to like him as a villain. I think he's a great character. As much as I enjoyed the conflict that they built in, I didn't love having Supergirl in this one.
It's definitely an added element that while it was fun to discuss Supergirl for the first time on this podcast, it didn't feel needed.
It did not feel needed. I do quite enjoy the animation on this one. I feel like they did a great job with that. But yeah, a lot of like the ending for me just kind of killed it. I thought it was kind of cool that they had them trap Superman in the smaller city with all the Kryptonians.
Yeah, and he like meets his aunt and uncle or something.
Yeah, I think that could be kind of a neat arc, but the way like him like getting out of there and destroying the ship, it felt rushed and not very well thought out. I don't know. I think it's an interesting concept. I don't like that they kind of like trapped him like that, and that was the way that he was able to like make his way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. It's one of those things where like when you're watching the movie, you kind of just like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. In hindsight, you're like, okay.
It's easy to think about it too hard.
Right. That's a good way to put it. Just don't think about it too hard. You'll have fun. But yeah, you get like that cool fight with Brainiac and Superman at the lake. That part was fun.
That was fun. You're right. I do recall quite liking that ending because they kind of killed him with the humanity of it all.
Right. The imperfection. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hate the design on Brainiac in this, but it is over the top, I will say.
He is a bulky. Yeah.
Yeah, every other Brainiac, while not like, you know, fat or skinny per se, like is not just an absolute meathead that can like take him on physically. His whole thing is beating Superman intellectually.
Literally.
So I wasn't a huge fan of him like being able to hold his own one-on-one, like punching Superman. And that crazy moment where he like sealed him into like the cocoon and just started beating the crap out of him. It's so hard for me to take that seriously.
That was so funny. We were dying. I forgot about that.
So yeah, I think the hardest part about ranking these for me is I don't think I outright hated any of them.
No, it's, yeah, I'm with you there.
The comparison game is very real, but like even at the lower end of these rankings, like I had fun sitting through most of these.
Oh, for sure. I think this middle part of the list is where it got the most difficult. So like if you ask me again in like a week, it might change, right? Yeah. But
okay, well now I'm curious. Number eight, Porter, what'd you have?
Superman Returns.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Okay.
I just remember watching it and thinking this could have been so much better.
Okay.
I really, there's so much of it that I do like. I enjoy it kind of being like a soft sequel reboot to Christopher Reeve's Superman. I enjoy Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor, Brandon Routh as Superman. I don't know, man. It's one of those things where you get the plot of Lex trying to like make the Kryptonite continent, but just for beachfront property. And it's really tough for me to, I think this one had one of the harder like tacked on fourth acts of these movies, because they all seem to have like a fourth act thrown in there at the end.
Oh yeah,
this one's probably the hardest for me to stomach. That being said, one thing I actually really love about this movie is the plane catching sequence. I thought that was great. And then also I really like that you have these histories with these characters already, because so much time has passed, you get, you know, different dynamics that you wouldn't get in what otherwise would be a conventional reboot.
Right. You know, that's not an invalid opinion. I totally see where you're coming from. And I did quite like Brandon Routh as Superman in this. I don't think he like flubbed the portrayal at all.
No, he did. He did the best he was given.
And honestly, I think it was just such a refreshing jump for me in quality because
that's for sure. Jeez.
Coming off of Superman 4, I mean, they made huge leaps in just like CGI, practical effects, and honestly, story writing.
Yeah, it's definitely a big jump in quality, hence why this is so far up here compared to 3 and 4 being at dead last, you know.
Right.
But what's your next one?
Okay, so coming in at number 7, I got Superman All-Star. And the biggest reason it's kind of sitting around the middle for me is I think it works well as its own story, but as a comic book adaptation, I could see how some people find it falling flat. However, there might be some hate because I know some people love this comic book and they think it's the perfect Superman story.
Yeah, this one's tough because as an adaptation, I think it takes the best, not the best parts necessarily, but it takes a lot of the through line continuous plot arcs and smushes them together into a narrative. Something that I wish the comic had done more. And we discussed this, how the comic book is so episodic.
Oh, yeah.
And this movie tries to kind of make it better.
Which, honestly, I kind of liked about the comic book. I thought it was an interesting approach to it. And
okay.
To the extent that I kind of wish the movie had almost been made into, like, a season, if that makes sense.
That might have been the way to do it.
I just think there were a lot of interesting things that... A lot of interesting premises that they could have gotten out of Bizarro World and kind of that whole juxtaposition with Superman. I don't think it was insanely like devastating that they cut that out, but I was kind of hoping to see it after reading the comic book.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's a fair point.
Number 7, Porter?
This is Superman Unbound for me. And then if it's all right, my next one is after that is All-Star Superman.
All right, yeah. So,
yeah, you can do sitting two in a row in next. Middle. But yeah, exactly. They're just kind of like smack in the middle of like totally worth a watch, but it's not going to be like the best of the best.
Okay. I find it interesting that we both think All-Star is better than Unbound.
Yeah. I think All-Star just kind of has a bit more emotional impact to it.
Mm.
If you could call that that. I don't know what the word would be, but...
I mean, yeah, like some... Just the premise... Of super cancer, right? Like, yeah. Like this thing that is like so human eating away at him.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's a great story. I loved the comic book and quite enjoyed the animated adaptation, but I don't feel like I can rank it further.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah. Next for me is Superman number 1.
Number 6. Wow.
Yeah. And I think the leading word for me here is iconic. I think it has so many memorable moments, and even if it isn't like the best in some situations, right, obviously there are movies higher up on this list. I love so many things that they did in this movie. Number 1 being Lex's need for beachfront property.
Oh, it's so funny.
The fact that they like bring this up several other times like throughout the series, and like Gene Hackman's introduction like as Lex, like I feel like this movie just hit for me, being the first in our watch through. I feel completely justified having it up here.
That's fair. It's a classic for a reason. And I know that you had seen it before, so maybe you were better equipped to know what to expect.
At least a semblance of nostalgia there.
Right. I just, yeah. But no, I respect it. Like I said, with these movies are weird and tricky because they can either be, you know, someone's favorite or someone's least favorite, and I will not fault them.
Right. There are so many valid opinions in this conversation.
Yeah, jeez.
So yeah, coming in at number 5 for me would be Superman Man of Tomorrow. I love Parasite being the villain in this. And honestly, even though the animation is different, I quite liked it in this.
Yeah, it was fun. I think by the time they had gotten to like The Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 3, I was kind of over it. But since this was the first one, I was into it. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I love the character design on Parasite, the fact that he isn't just an alien being coming in, right? Like, he was affected. I love that we got Lobo in this. He is such a fun villain.
Yeah, this is the perfect introduction to his character, is this movie.
Totally. And yeah, John Jones is an alien. I just think I am a huge fan of the overarching discussion of humanity versus alien and like what that means.
Right.
And honestly, the ending was satisfying to me.
Yeah, it's a well-rounded story. It's like, you know, big thumbs up.
How about you? Number five, Porter.
My number five, and this is kind of where we get into the easily recommendable with an asterisk or two. But for the most part, like, these are the ones I had easily the best time watching.
Totally.
My number five is Superman Red Son.
Okay.
So that's the, you know, the communist one. I think it has a lot of fun twists on the DC universe as a whole, based on the simple choice of having Superman land in Russia rather than Kansas. And I think what follows is a really engaging story. I do think that having read the comic, it goes into a lot more of a philosophical debate and what Lex is doing to try and stop Superman. But in this one, Lex is kind of sidelined for a good chunk of the movie. But I think it still has a lot of those really good philosophical debates.
I'm with you there. It approached it from a really interesting perspective.
Yeah, what's your next one?
Superman Returns, which...
Okay, you had a quite a bit fair amount there.
Higher than yours, for sure. But once again, I think the jump in quality really stuck with me. And as much as I hated a lot of these bits with Lois's kid, I think was hard for me.
Oh, yeah, like Superman's kid?
Yeah, that was...
That was weird.
That was weird. Don't get me wrong. I was not a huge fan of that, but I kind of just love the idea of him, the jump in time, like you mentioned. I feel like that is a crazy interesting dynamic, and the idea of him like being in a world where Lois has kind of moved on.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and it helps that he doesn't get her back in the end.
Right.
Like, that makes it infinitely more interesting.
No, I'm totally with you there. And I very much liked Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor. A nice nod to Gene Hackman, but really, he made it his own.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of flair in this movie. And it's a case of, yeah, I enjoyed most of it, but I can also see why I didn't kick off a new era of Superman.
Oh, sure.
I can see why it's just a one-off.
Which is fair. I totally see that. I love the nod to kind of the beachfront property, even though that wasn't like... Officially, the idea was a new continent, right? But it's there.
Right.
And I am a huge fan of how cinematic him, like, stabbing him with the kryptonite was.
That part was sweet.
Oh, man.
That was good.
I feel like that was one of the better Dark Knight of the Souls we got.
I agree with you. Too bad it was followed by his kid being in the helicopter, like, let's turn back, guys.
Oh, my gosh. That kind of killed me. Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. There's a lot to like.
Yeah, but bringing it in at number four, what do you got, Porter?
Here's where I have Superman 2. So I had a quite a bit higher than you.
Wow, okay, yeah, why does it stick out to you?
So, one word, iconic. No, I'm just kidding. No, I just feel like it takes all of the stuff from the first movie, good and bad, and kind of just improves upon it. So all the good stuff's better, and all the stuff that I really had a hard time with is improved upon. I really think that while the villain might not be as enthusiastic as someone like Lex Luthor, I do like the part where, while it makes zero sense and they don't explain it, I do like when he temporarily has his powers taken away and we get to see Clark Kent kind of be a good person even if he doesn't have superpowers.
Fair enough.
And I feel like this is, if you want to think classic Superman, I feel like this is where I'm going to point people, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's a pretty good movie. It's honestly up here a lot higher than maybe it should be. But I think for me, it's got to be that like icon of Christopher Reeve as Superman. And I think this is the best movie that he did.
Proper sequel right. to that original. Okay, I see where you're coming from. They did build a lot off that.
Yeah, but yeah, geez, you had it like third last.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, it's Zod and the gang, man. Like, the fact that his henchmen had, like, no story, no motivation. Like, they were kind of there just to, like, be extra bodies to hit. The fact that they just found his Fortress of Solitude with, like, zero explanation. Yeah, it had a lot going for it that I it killed me. And as iconic, I'm going to keep using that word, as that intro scene is with, like, it is recognized in a lot of circles, like that bit with Zod and his lackeys being banished.
Right.
Really breaking it down. It feels goofy.
Oh, it's not well done at all. Especially when you get something like Man of Steel to be like, oh, that's way better.
Oh my gosh. And you know, you bring up a great point. I might have been a little harsh simply because Man of Steel did it infinitely better.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, what do you got? Number three?
Number three is Superman Red Son.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And granted, it's not terribly important to the Superman universe. It is truly just a what if. But I think it raises some essential questions about, once again, this idea of like Superman being all powerful and like it all depends on which side he's on, right? Like who should control Superman? And in this one, nobody does. He is the leader of Russia. He is like a world power.
Right. You kind of get to see how would he run a society.
Totally. And the fact that he kind of turns Stalin-esque is fantastic. I love the idea of him like being so affected by his upbringing.
Yeah.
And this isn't Superman related per se, but I love the Batman in this one.
He's
oh my
sweet.
Gosh.
He's brutal.
He's so good. I'm just a fan that they included him. Wonder Woman was a fun addition to that. And even though the ending felt strange, like it was a hard 180 and they all just, it was like a fight against Brainiac and like President Lex had like a mech suit. Like it was kind of out of the blue. I was there for it the whole time. I honestly did not hate it for a moment. And especially getting that ending where we kind of get just that hypothetical and kind of just a clean universe, where Superman just is another person in the crowd. And you're like, we don't think he's kind of leader of Russia anymore. He's just back to being a civilian.
Right. Kind of learns that lesson of they have to make their own mistakes. That's part of growing. That's life.
Right.
It's a good, I'm with you. Solid movie.
And though I do kind of wish that they did include that comic book ending where, you know, the Earth eventually becomes Krypton, there's a time loop. I like that tie-in. I think it was a solid comic book adaptation.
I'm with you there.
What about you, Porter? Numero tres.
See, now I'm so curious. Actually, I'm not curious. I know how yours is going to end up now, now that I've seen what's left. My number three is Batman vs. Superman.
Okay.
This one is kind of one of those asterisks of like easily recommendable. I think it's easily recommendable to a Superman fan, right? Like this one was weird to rank because it's not solely a Superman film. Like a lot, well, all of these, right? You've got Batman, you've got Wonder Woman, you've got kind of a soft sequel to Man of Steel.
Right.
But you also got like a pre-Justice League type movie. It's tricky to place, but I like it at number three. I really think that it's a solid philosophical debate, and I think it's presented pretty well in this. I think the characters, there's obviously a lot of love put into this movie, even if not all of it works and it feels rushed. I don't know. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed that movie, and it's actually my number two.
Okay.
I think they did a great job with it, and I wanted to put it a little bit lower simply because it's not a Superman movie, right? Like, the second act is really not much about Superman at all.
Right.
He's an integral character, don't get me wrong, and it ends with the death of Superman. It is heart-wrenching. It is fantastic, but being like about kind of his developments as a character, he is a very flat character arc where he is just kind of Superman the whole time. And I feel like there isn't an incredible amount of conflict. So I was worried about that for a second, but they do a great job introducing this idea of kind of moral versus power.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the big dramatic question of the movie, right? Is since there is a Superman, how do we deal with that as the human race? I think, the court scene is well done. I think the debate, and while we've talked about it, I think Batman could have been better fleshed out. I think he serves his purpose well enough to make the movie move forward. Yeah, overall, solid movie. Definitely recommend the ultimate cut over the theatrical.
Totally. And once again, absolutely love Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
Same here.
What about you, Porter? Number two.
My number two is Man of Tomorrow.
All right.
I really think it is probably the easiest recommendable movie on this list. I think that it's the perfect introduction to someone into not only Superman, but the DC universe as a whole. I think it does a great job of introducing a lot of characters like Lobo, Martian Manhunter, and Lex Luthor. I think having Parasite be the villain was a bold choice, but they made it work and they tied it into the theming. And overall, I think that this movie is just, it's the most complete in my opinion. Like it's the one I have the least amount of negative things to say. I know it's my number two, but I don't know. I really think this is probably, in my opinion, the best movie we watched. It's not my favorite though, evidently.
Okay. I'm kind of with you there. They had some really fun dynamics. I mean, one of the coolest things I appreciated from that movie was Clark not knowing Lex Luthor previous to this.
Right.
So his team up with him felt very natural, even though like it was kind of out of the blue, right? It was just like, suddenly there's a bigger threat we all need to fight. That thing that killed me was a Martian Manhunter, like dying in air quotes.
Yeah. That and Lobo, where they both like died and then they're back and they kind of just brush it off like, haha, that's crazy.
Right. Like that. And it was all just like that one liner where Superman's like, yeah, Lobo, wish you would have told me about that immortality thing.
Right.
And
it's just like
John is all like, I showed him what I wanted him to see.
Oh, geez.
It did feel very rushed and sloppy at the end, just in that sense. But I'm with you there. They did an incredible job with that movie.
Yeah. So, sounds like we both have the same number one. No surprise here.
Superman 4.
Yes.
No, I think it was pretty obvious from, honestly, just making that podcast and how much fun I had with that and sitting through it with you. Man of Steel is by far the best iteration of Superman we have.
Oh, totally. Actor is fantastic. You get a great origin story. You get fun action, maybe a bit too much action, but it's fun. And yeah, it shows basically the plot of Zod returning to Earth from Superman 2, but does it infinitely better.
Totally. And I feel like it's one of the superhero movies that gets better with time, which I don't feel like is always the case. That's a hard line to ride. I mean, having seen this, you know, once or twice originally and then coming back to it now, like it hit hard.
It was good. I think because it has such a strong sense of style, it is able to stay unique despite it being a much older movie, right? Like it's over a decade old now. But I think because it has such a strong sense of style, it doesn't feel as old as it is.
Totally. And in the context of just like Superman development and like conflicts that he has to come up against, I feel like this is easily the strongest. Him having to choose between like the way he was raised, never killing people, always like keep your power in check, and like killing Zod because he will destroy everyone to destroy Superman. That was such a powerful moment.
Yeah, I think the movie actually does take care to set up Superman's origin. Like a good chunk of this movie is just Superman growing up, him just kind of living his life. He's not doing any saving yet, in a Superman suit at least. And because of that setup, a lot of the payoffs hit a lot better than they did in previous films.
Totally. And you made a good point in the previous podcast about the Christopher Nolan storytelling being part of that, like really well-meshed, like tied together sort of explanation of like his past, right? We get the really long intro scene and then kind of cut throughout, and then getting Jor-El later in the movie was fantastic. Russell Crowe, fantastic actor.
So fun.
You're right. It just was very well fleshed out. It was a solid story.
Yeah, I'm with, like, there's a reason we agree this is number one. It was definitely the one we had the most fun rewatching.
And that kind of concludes our rankings of the past 11 Superman movies that we've watched.
Yeah, fun exercise.
I had so much fun breaking down all of these, and I think in context is the best way to view a lot of these movies. Like, there are a lot of overarching themes and play, like the ways that different characters are played. Oh my gosh, I had so much fun with this.
Yeah, this was great, and fun way to cap off everything before the new one.
Totally. So speaking of the new one, what are you most excited for?
I honestly, the trailers look so busy with so many things and so many different scenes that I am just thinking, like, what? How does it fit together? How do they make it work, right? I'm so curious to see how they managed to fit everything into that movie.
Seems like a lot of plot lines for a 2.5-hour movie.
Right. What about you? What are you most excited for?
Honestly, I'm just excited to see how David Cornsweet plays Superman. I am so much more on board with him right now than I ever thought I could be. As soon as I heard they were, like, nixing Henry Cavill, I was devastated, obviously. And, you know, they started releasing pictures of David Cornsweet in the suit, and I'm starting to see trailers and things like that, and I'm, like, slowly growing on him, and, like...
At this point, you're, like, on board.
I'm on board. I think he's a great pick for this, and I'm thoroughly excited to see how he plays it.
I'm with you. I think it was a very fun, smart choice to cast someone that hasn't been in a lot. Kind of similar to the Star Wars, the newer Star Wars films, where they cast relatively unknown actors to play these huge roles. You know, this is their defining moment. And so I'm excited. Yeah,
totally. And the amount of characters that they have in this, we've kind of talked in the past that, you know, Superman has strengths and weaknesses playing a main versus a supporting role. And I'm just excited to see him in a supporting role with some of these, like, lesser known superheroes.
I'm with you.
We really appreciate you guys sticking with us through all of these Superman films. We've had a ton of fun watching these and talking about them. And I'm super excited to get into more films as we keep doing this. But yeah, next week we are so stoked to watch the new Superman film and more excited to talk to you guys about it. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.